This is Ecclesia Militans Radio, a media arm of the Our Lady of Good Success Mission in Toronto, Ontario, Canada. Hosted by Tony La Rosa and produced by Brian Torcel. Fighting for the one holy Catholic and apostolic church. And to maintain the line of the saintly Archbishop Marcel Lefebvre. Visit us at www.ecclesiamilitans.com for our archived radio programs and other information in promotion and defense of the Catholic faith. Prepare for battle. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Ecclesia Militans Radio. I am your host, Tony La Rosa. You are listening to Episode 2, recorded on Wednesday, May the 27th, 2015, in the year of our Lord. The title of this episode is The Catholic Resistance Rosary Crusade. Before we begin our show, let us start off with a Hail Mary in honor of Our Lady of Good Success. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Dear friends, on May 13, 2015, a Catholic Resistance Rosary Crusade was launched for a few key intentions. The principal one being the consecration of Russia by the Pope in union with the bishops of the world to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. It was in 1929 that Our Lady of Fatima, through Sister Lucia, first asked for this consecration. But till today, every pope since Pius XI has failed to perform this consecration in the precise manner that Our Lady had requested. In 2009, His Excellency Bishop Bernard Fahey of the Society St. Pius X called a 12 million rosaries crusade for the consecration of Russia, and the number was well surpassed. However, this crusade did not produce the desired outcome. As a matter of fact, things have only gotten worse under Pope Francis, who allegedly told Russian President Vladimir Putin during a meeting at the Vatican in November 2013 that he did not want to speak about Fatima. Unfortunately, enthusiasm for the consecration of Russia has waned even amongst traditional Catholics over the past few years. Why then has another rosary crusade been called by the members of the Catholic Resistance? And why now? To answer these questions, we welcome Ron and Vivian Nord, husband and wife from Bowden, Alberta, Canada, a town located north of Calgary. Ron and Vivian came up with the idea of launching another rosary crusade for the consecration of Russia, and we are glad to be able to speak to them about it. Welcome, Ron and Vivian, to Ecclesia Militans Radio.
Hello, Tony. It's good to be here. Thanks for having us.
Hello, Tony.
Great to hear from you. Start off, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourselves, how you came to Catholic tradition, and ultimately the Catholic Resistance?
Well, I could answer that, I guess. We were both born and raised in the Catholic faith before Vatican II. We were married in 1969. We have two children, a son and a daughter. As they were going through their school years, we attended the Novus Ordo Mass. All through those years, we never heard a word about the SSPX, which was established in 1987 in Calgary. But we did hear about the Indult Mass in about 1991, so we began attending there whenever possible. When the Fraternity of St. Peter came to town and took over, we were there every Sunday and then daily by 1998. The crunch came in 2005. We were planning a Cross Canada holiday, and we asked our St. Peter priest if we could attend a St. Pius X Mass if our Mass wasn't available.
Well, we were absolutely stunned by his admonition that if we could not find a Novus Ordo Mass anywhere, then we would fulfill our Sunday duty by attending an SSPX chapel. As Archbishop Lefebvre stated, we were betrayed. We were sent to the wolves by our own shepherd.
Vivian, I mean,
nonetheless,
before you continue, can I ask this question? When you say your fraternity priest said to go to the Novus Ordo, were you shocked at that? That he said that first before going to the Society St. Pius X chapel?
Yes. I was very shocked, but I was kind of stunned. So okay. We just kind of thought, well, I guess we better do what he says. We were obedient, you know, trusting and obedient.
Okay.
So we followed his direction.
Okay. So he didn't he was okay with you attending the society, just that the Novus Ordo should take precedence.
That's right. Exactly.
Okay. 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 Continue. Yeah. With your story.
So we followed his direction and we attended that Novus Ordo Mass on every Sunday with much difficulty and sacrifice to find it. But we were really unprepared for the shocking lack of anything Catholic we were to encounter there, be it priest or laity. We were really especially disappointed in the conduct of the older people who should have known better. So we returned home completely disillusioned and very upset with our priest, whom we had trusted and respected. How could he have done this to us? Our eyes were also opened with regard to the Fraternity of St. Peter and what it stood for, or should I say, what it didn't stand for. So needless to say, in our distress, we made these facts known to anyone in the parish who would listen, to try to make them aware of our newfound knowledge.
Finally, an older lady, who herself must have gone to the SSPX at one time, suggested that we go to the SSPX chapel in Rocky Mountain House, which is about 50 minutes north of where we live. We took her advice, and we never looked back until 2013. Before February of 2013, we knew nothing of the crisis in the SSPX, just something vague about Bishop Williamson saying something about the Jews, and as our priest put it, he was imprudent and more or less deserved what he got, and that we should stay off the internet because there was nothing but trash on it anyways.
I've heard that many times. Summer,
well, sorry to interrupt again. Isn't that something, yeah? Just listen to DG and times. What Bishop Fillet has to say. Yeah.
Yes.
So,
yes.
So we got some probably bad advice from that, I guess, but we didn't listen to him anyways. We went on the internet.
Good for you.
So, you know, we had to pick our own road. So in the summer of 2012, a young parishioner who had moved to BC gave us a CD to listen to Father Pfeiffer's sermon in the Philippines, the one with the barking dogs. I think everybody has probably heard that one.
Yes, I have.
So then the next Sunday, she left us a note saying she had been threatened by our priest that she would be denied the sacraments if she persisted. He made a comment from the pulpit saying that nothing had been signed and we never saw or heard from this young lady again. And the whole thing just kind of blew over. And then we were back to business as usual.
And then in February of 2013, we finally got a new computer and a reliable internet connection. So we thought we'd look up Bishop Williamson and see if we could find out what that was all about. But when we did, we found out that what he had to say didn't seem to warrant such a backlash that he got. That's what we thought anyhow. So at that point, though, we didn't really know anything about any of the controversy because we'd always just been trusting our SSPX priests and thinking they would let us know whatever we needed to know. So we didn't pay attention. Mm-hmm. So then after, in the fall of 2012, I think, then a different SSPX priest, but an older but not really a wiser one, came to our chapel, and having come through the Novus Ordo, we could recognize a Novus Ordo sermon when we heard one. Many eyebrows were raised a few times at his liberal comments, even, I must say, sadly, even in the confessional. Finally, we decided it was Pentecost Sunday, 2013. We had had enough. And after a couple of consultations with Bishop Williamson and Father Gerard, we became red lighters, home aloners. We could not go back. Our eyes had been opened. We couldn't go back. We were betrayed by the very ones who kept saying, "Trust me on this one. Have I ever let you down before?" And as a matter of fact, in hindsight, we could recall a few other times.
On December the 26th, 2013, Father Pfeiffer offered the first SSPX Marian Corps Mass in Calgary, Alberta, Canada. There were 14 people in attendance, and 11 were from our own family. And since then, another family of 7 is attending, and several other adults. So we're now about 30 people or so.
Oh, that's excellent.
Being retired, yeah, that's it's a nice start to a, you know, and hopefully it grows to be 3,000, but I don't think we have enough time left for that. So, but we're happy with 30. It's nice to have Father Pfeiffer and Father Hugo come, and offer these masses to us. We get them every 6 or 7 weeks, and when they can get here. Canada is a little harder to get to than, say, some points in the States because of the border crossing. So they're finding it more difficult, I think, to get up here. But they're doing it, and God bless their souls for that.
Yes.
So anyway, we're both retired, and we were blessed to have the extra time to listen to every resistance sermon the moment it was posted. We could never get enough of the talks. And we wanted to know and understand every detail of the crisis for confirmation of our faith and also for our strength and consolation. And as every red lighter knows, it absolutely rips you apart to give up going to regular Mass and receiving the sacraments. The most important thing in your life, which is that, and there's no other choice if you want to stand with Christ and bear witness to the truth.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Here's my favorite line of all time. After all, how can a person stand in defense of the truth if he's sitting in the pews of compromise?
Mm-hmm.
That was coined by our daughter.
So true. So true.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So it's something to think about, I guess. It was so clear to us. We had just gone through it with the Fraternity of St. Peter, and now it was happening all over again in the SSPX, the same betrayal. At first, our daughter couldn't believe such a thing could happen, and she set out to prove us wrong. But it didn't take very long for her to see the writing on the wall, and she and her husband and their family of 7 children followed us shortly thereafter. We found ourselves pretty well all alone on a raft in the middle of the deep blue sea.
Thank you. Thank you very much both for that introduction. So what spurred you to call a rosary crusade, and why at this point in time?
Well, after listening to your Ecclesia Militans first radio talk show featuring Hugh Akins, where he was talking about his book, Synagogue Rising, I awoke the next morning with the thought in my mind, what can we do? How can we protect our children and our grandchildren from what is surely coming? And then the thought came to me, we can do what the Austrians did. They prayed the rosary without stopping for 7 years. They wouldn't give up. And the communists were driven out. You know, it was a miracle. And I thought, maybe we can do the same. We can pray. We can pray like we've never prayed before. We need to unite, all of us in the Catholic resistance, around the world. We need to unite our rosary intentions. We need to build a bonfire that will ascend the heavens. We need to do what the Ninevites did when they put on sackcloth and ashes, begging God's mercy. We need to show His Divine Majesty that we are serious in our prayers for the conversion of sinners and in repentance for our own sins. We need to beg, really beg, for the consecration of Russia to be done as requested by Our Lady of Fatima.
Our time is running out. This is the big one. As Jesus said, will there be any faith left at all when I return? Will we pass the test? And the test, we think, is the reason why we were born and why we came into this world. As Sister Lucy stated, the ultimate remedies given to the world are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. There will be no others.
What exactly are the intentions of this Rosary Crusade, and what is its duration?
The Resistance Rosary Crusade actually started on May 13th and will continue through to October 13th, the duration of Our Lady's apparitions at Fatima. It's never too late to start if you haven't already.
Here's something really interesting that a lady in the Third Order of St. Francis in the Resistance pointed out. There are 153 days from May 13th to October 13th. And there are 153 Hail Marys in the 15-decade rosary. I thought that was kind of interesting.
Very interesting. Very interesting indeed. Yes.
Yeah, and then
such thing as a coincidence with God.
No, that's right. So all the numbers are there for a reason. Mm-hmm. That is for sure.
Yep.
And also in the Gospel of St. John 21, Jesus told the apostles to cast their nets out on the right side of the boat, and they made a huge catch of great fishes. And guess how many? 153 of them.
Wow.
So isn't that interesting?
Wow, very interesting.
And the Haydock Bible footnotes explain that this 153 fishes explains that this was a figure of the great number that were to be converted by the labors of the apostles. So maybe there's a connection there between all of our rosaries and for the conversion of sinners. Who knows? As Bishop Williamson says, you know what he says, watch and pray, watch and pray, 15 decades every day.
That's right. Yeah, we have to do as much as we can, and the more the better. So we thought the three intentions of this worldwide resistance rosary crusade, which are the consecration of Russia to the Immaculate Heart of Mary, as requested by Our Lady of Fatima. The second one is the conversion of sinners and in reparation for all our sins. And the third one, God's mercy on us and Our Lady's protection on all of us.
Very good. Excellent intentions there for this crusade. Has any resistance bishop or priest endorsed this rosary crusade?
Yes, they have. We have received blessings and encouragements from our bishops, priests, and our religious, from His Excellency Bishop Williamson. Bishop Williamson supports all efforts to obtain prayers for the consecration of Russia to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart, and he asks Almighty God to bless all those who pray for that consecration. And from His Excellency Bishop Four, Bishop Four joins His Excellency Bishop Williamson in supporting all efforts to obtain prayers for the consecration of Russia to Our Lady's Immaculate Heart. And likewise, he asks Almighty God to bless all those who pray for that consecration. And from Father David Hugo, I think do it, he said, without hesitation. Nations, families, and souls are at stake. The consecration of Russia, as Our Lady of Fatima requested, must be prominent. You have my encouragement and blessings. And from the Dominicans of Avrier, France, the Blessed Virgin Mary repeated to me that the ultimate remedies given to the world are the Holy Rosary and devotion to the Immaculate Heart of Mary. The ultimate signifies that there will be no others, Sister Lucy of Fatima to Father Fuentes in 1959. So the Dominicans of Avrier, France, encouraged this new initiative to spread the rosary in the families to pray for the intentions given by Our Lady of Fatima, consecration of Russia, conversion of sinners, reparation for our own sins. This prayer will certainly obtain protection for the families, especially perseverance in the true faith and in the state of grace.
Wow, that's some pretty good support from the clergy. Do you have a website set up for the Rosary Crusade? And if so, please give the address.
Yes, we did set up a website just for the Resistance Crusade, just so we could keep track and have a place where people could go to see how we're doing. And the website is www.resistancerosarycrusade.com. And then you just go to the different tabs for all the info. For example, on the home page, if you scroll down, you will see the flag of your country displayed above the map of the world, showing Our Lady that you are participating in this worldwide effort of the SSPX Marian Corps. And as it says in Judith, and I thought this was even interesting, speaking about numbers, Judith 13:31 is the verse. And it says, in every nation which shall hear thy name, the God of Israel shall be magnified on occasion of thee. That's always been one of my favorites. I think we would all like the name of God to be magnified in our countries, and this is one way to do it. And then also, if you go to the news tab on our website, you can open and read the announcements and information about the crusade. And also, you can read the words of encouragement and blessing of our bishops, priests, and religious that Ron just noted a minute ago.
Very good, very good. Now, do you encourage people to count the number of rosaries they pray for the crusade?
Yes, we do. I think the main idea is that we unite with all those in the resistance throughout the world, uniting our hearts and minds, and especially offering our rosaries for the same intentions. For instance, as a former firefighter, Ron can tell you that a huge bonfire attracts a lot more attention than a few campfires burning here and there. So, you know, that if we unite ourselves, if we can unite our prayers all around the world even, maybe Our Lady will turn her eyes of mercy towards us, as we always pray in the Hail Holy Queen. So there's strength in numbers. So yes, we encourage everyone to count the number of rosaries. and also just to see how we're all doing and who and where we are in this world of the resistance, to bring us together and to keep the momentum going, so to speak. And also remember that these intentions can be added to our existing rosaries, so the rosaries that we're already praying. So it's just a matter of keeping track and sending in your monthly totals. And you can do that on the tally info tab. You can download and print the tally sheet to keep track of the rosaries you've prayed. And then on the 13th of each month, you just email the total number of rosaries prayed during that month to tally@resistancerosarycrusade.com. And then keep praying and tallying and do the same thing the next month and so forth and so on.
Very good. Very good. Now, I know there's some wise guys out there that have criticized this Rosary Crusade. Have you heard of any comments from the internet or from your family members regarding some disparaging remarks?
Well, yes, we have actually. I think sometimes people just don't understand, really, and so maybe that's why they may make those comments. But one of them was, why do we need to unite our intentions in this Rosary Crusade? Because we're always praying for the consecration of Russia anyways, and so have we always for many years, but it still hasn't happened. So we have to keep praying. Yeah. And everybody knows this. You know, the old adage, united we stand, divided we fall.
Yes.
Armies unite. You know, they wouldn't be very effective if each one just went his own way and did his own thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So even if his intention was to, you know, kill the enemy or whatever. So, and even God himself calls us to unity. And Jesus said it again in the gospel not very long ago, that they may all be one.
Mm-hmm. You know?
So there is importance in unity. And there was something on the Whitsun Eve in the introit that I found really interesting. In Ezekiel, he said, when I shall be sanctified in you, I will gather you together out of all the countries. I just found that very interesting. And then the tract of that same mass said, oh, praise the Lord, all ye nations, and extol him, all ye people. For his mercy is confirmed upon us, and the truth of the Lord remaineth forever. And then on Whit Sunday, there was another one, which I found quite interesting because they were all together. He said, let God arise and let his enemies be scattered. So you might say that one way in which God punishes the people is to scatter them.
Mm-hmm.
And when he wishes to bless them, he gathers them together out of all the countries.
Yes, yes.
That's my idea anyhow.
Mm-hmm. That you came up with the idea of the Resistance Rosary Crusade only a few weeks before Father Nicholas Gruner's death. You know, he who was the foremost proponent of the consecration of Russia. What message, if any, do you get from Our Lady?
Well, the first thing that came to my mind was unite and fight. Fight under the greatest general the world has ever known, our Blessed Mother, with the greatest weapon at our disposal, the Holy Rosary. And the quote from Our Lady of La Salette should be printed in our minds and on our hearts and in our souls. It should be our battle cry. And what she said at La Salette to the children, she said, fight, children of the light, you the few who can see. And I find these words of Our Lady so amazing. Could she mean those of us in the resistance who are standing up for the truth, those of us who are recognizing and resisting? And, you know, again, how can you stand for the truth when you're sitting in the pews of compromise?
Mm-hmm.
So there's only a few who seem to be able to see with the eyes of their souls. Others, for whatever reason, cannot or do not or will not see for themselves. Mm-hmm. And yet, how could it be any clearer?
Mm-hmm.
I remember as a child, I was only 7 or 8 years old, and the gospel, I always remember the gospel where Jesus asks if there will be any faith at all when I return. And I always thought that I would like to be someone who would still have that faith when he returns. And also, I remember another passage about being cast out into the exterior darkness where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And I thought I would not want to be one of those. So So we have to stand and fight with Our Lady. And the best way to do that, again, of course, is pick up our rosaries and pray.
Very good, very good. Yes, you know, it's, you know, going back to the red light position, I agree with you. It's my opinion that, you know, Our Lady is not impressed with those who would criticize the Society of St. Pius X, the neo-SSPX, but yet would sit in the pews and worship along with those who are not fighting for the faith, for the priests that are not standing up to the attacks on the faith given by the leaders of the society. And, you know, that are happening in those priests' backyards, right? I mean, it's easy to criticize Rome when you're at a distance, when you know Rome's actions will not have an impact on you. But it's a whole different story when the attacks of the against the faith are in your own backyard and you remain silent. So it's disappointing, to say the least. And I hope that part of this Rosary Crusade would be to, you know, maybe put our own intentions and have those Catholics who still attend the Society of St. Pius X to really, you know, pray to Our Lady for faith. I know it's difficult. I mean, I went through the same thing. It's not easy to leave a chapel where, you know, where you're receiving communion regularly, where you're going to confession regularly. But people have to understand that this is a fight for the faith, and the faith comes first. And if we stand up for the faith, Our Lady will reward us. She won't abandon us.
That's right. We're taking quite a risk by being in both sides of the fence. I don't think you can really be there. You either are with me or against me, our Lord told us.
That's right. That's right.
And Tony, one thing I wanted to say, just, you know, we've had a lot of comments about people saying, well, what can we do? We're sitting at home and we feel like we don't have any friends left. All our parishioners are in church and we're sitting at home. What can we do? What can we do? What can we do? Well, picking up the rosary and praying united with all the people in the world is something that we can really do in a solidarity with all our resistance people. And if we do that as a united effort, we're going to make some waves with heaven and storm heaven with our prayers, and maybe the chastisements or whatever's coming down the road very soon, we are told, will be mitigated. And our Blessed Mother might plead on our behalf to God to help us get through this crisis and bring about the consecration of Russia a lot sooner than it would be if we didn't do anything. Yeah. So that's something we can all do. Get on our knees and pray the rosary. And I think that's probably the best advice that we can give anybody that wants to know how they can roll up their sleeves and get to work.
Yes, yes. You know, I pray for the consecration of Russia virtually every day. And it's so sad that Our Lady gave us the answer, such a simple answer. Think about if Pope Pius the 11th, who was the first one to get that message of consecrating Russia, just think about all World War II would not have happened. The communist revolution wouldn't have happened. Abortion, homosexuality, pornography, and the biggest thing of all, Vatican II. You know, the Third World War. So, you know, it's important to make reparation to Our Lady, especially on the first Saturdays, for the very fact that not only just the five intentions that she gave us at Fatima, but to make reparation for the insults that the popes and the bishops have offered her by refusing to consecrate Russia, and by undermining her message. So we, you know, with a few Catholics who are faithful left, we need to keep praying for this consecration. It's the only thing left. The world is going to get worse and worse. Until the consecration of Russia happens, things will not get better. Of course, individual souls can be saved at any time. But on a societal level, on a worldly level, it's just not going to change. Do you agree with me?
Well, I agree with you very much. I think that, I don't know, for my part, I think that I almost would like to see the chastisement coming, you know, mitigated, of course, but to set right the world, you know, and we're going to get it anyway.
Yeah, yeah.
that's what we're told. You know, it's coming, and whether so, well, all we can do is prepare our souls and get
right,
ready
that's right.
for it.
Our lady,
the sooner it gets here.
The chastisement's coming. Definitely they're going to come. Our Lady did say that the consecration of Russia will be done, but it will be done late. We could say even now it was late because so much has happened in the last 100 years, right?
That's right. That's exactly right.
But
as Father Gruner said, though, I shudder to think what's going to happen until the consecration is done. We heard him say that on one of his talks, and you know, it's kind of an unforeseen thing and kind of a scary thing out there. But you know it's coming, so it's like going to the dentist. You just want to get it over with and get on with your life. So that's what we're kind of trying to speed up the process and mitigate it at the same time. So I don't know how that works in conjunction, but something has to happen. And I always think the sooner the better. So here we go.
Well, Ron and Vivian, our time is almost up. Is there anything else you want to tell our audience?
Well, I just wanted to say about, you know, the unity of the resistance, and especially within this resistance Rosy Crusade. I just experienced again this instinct of a mother to unite her family. When our family gets together, I'm the most happy when they're together. And so the instinct of a mother is to unite her family, to gather them as a hen does her chicks, or maybe as a Gideon does an army, to protect them, or maybe to prepare them, or maybe both. So could this also be the intention of our Blessed Mother at this time?
Mm-hmm.
And although our resistance Marian Corps family is spread throughout the world, the resistance priests through their travels and sermons on the internet have introduced us to one another in a way, and we feel as though we know the people from Streaky Bay to the Philippines, from India and the United States, England, France, everywhere. Our brothers and sisters in Christ, and we're united by the bonds of the true faith. But the sad fact is that many of us have experienced the indifference and or vehemence of our own family members as they become more worldly and even anti-Catholic.
Mm.
So, you know, it's a great consolation to know that we still have family members, so to speak, around the world who share in this heritage of the true faith of our ancestors.
Yeah.
So I think I've even read somewhere that this spiritual bond is even greater than the bond of blood in families.
Yes, that's true. You know? Yes, it is. I mean, you can have two people of the same family, one baptized and one not. And that baptism really differentiates you from a non-baptized person. So,
yeah, and even your own siblings who are baptized and are gone the other way.
Yes,
you know, there's not much going on between you.
I would think that that's even worse because
yes,
God,
you're right.
God gives you the blessing of being baptized, and you basically turn away from Him. I mean, that's
worse
than never getting baptized to begin with.
That's right.
So.
That's exactly right, yep.
Hey, Brian, do you have anything else that you want to add?
Yeah.
Just one second, Brian, I want to introduce you officially. Ladies and gentlemen, Brian is is the show's producer. So he does all the technical work in the background. Welcome, Brian.
Hello, Tony. Hi, Vivian. Hi, Ron. Great to have you on the show. I assume you're coordinators in Calgary?
Yes.
The ones who... How do you get the word around? How do you let others know that you have Mass at a certain time, or how do you spread the word?
Well, actually, we live out in the country, there's not too many people that we ourselves are in contact with, but there is a lady in Calgary who was in contact with a few more, and she spreads the word by mouth and the people she knows, and they tell other people, you know. And that's how, and they keep inviting new people. So it actually works pretty good, word of mouth. And then we email and phone and do whatever we have to do to let them know about the masses. And we now have our website with our chapel section there, the Immaculate Heart of Mary Chapel. And we hope to post things on there. It's still a work in progress, and we hope to post more information about our chapel on that tab.
Oh, that's great. Okay. So it's kind of like a phone tree, or just one person tells another person, they tell two people, they tell more and more, and then word gets around. That's
You've
great.
You've seen that ad. That's right.
I know for myself, too, it's without the internet, I would never have known about the resistance. I would have never left the SSPX or the Indult or Novus Ordo for that matter. I couldn't find the traditional sermons out there. It's been a great help for those looking for the truth.
That's right. That's where we found it, too. But if we didn't have it, you're right. We often think of that, you know, God bless our priests, because those sermons are what spread the faith around the world.
Right, right.
Or keep the faith. Yeah.
That's my other question, too. What words of encouragement would you have for those who are maybe getting weary or losing the strength after not having Mass for 2 or 3 or 6 weeks in a row? How do they?
Well, we have to stand strong. We can't let the enemy win here. We have to be strong. We have to fight. Like Our Lady says, we have to fight. And one thing that we do is we pray the Mass prayers every day of the Mass of the day. So the Introit and the Collect and the Epistle and Gospel. And we do spiritual communions. We pray the Rosary, the Sorrowful Mysteries every day in place of the Mass that we can't attend, and the Sacramental Communion that we can't receive. And then we always do the Spiritual Communion. So that keeps us united. So that's how we stay alive. And then, of course, we also are becoming novices, actually, this Sunday in the Third Order of St. Francis.
Oh, congratulations.
And that's a wonderful way. That's a wonderful way to stay in touch with, or to stay united with the Church.
Right.
The Church of Rome, or the
Eternal
the true
Rome.
Church, the true
right,
faith,
right.
Eternal Rome, because it keeps us, those are the prayers of the Church. So you're right there. So for us, that means is tremendous.
Right. If you guys have time, I have two more questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
I myself, I've noticed sometimes I'm either I let the time get away from me, or just whatever circumstances happen, I can't pray all 15 mysteries a day. How do you suggest those who are busier or who haven't had the practice or the habit of praying 15 mysteries a day, how do they get into that? How would you suggest doing the full 15 instead of just doing the 5 or the 10?
Well, I think that you should start by doing one rosary, and if you find time, you can add to it, but you have to pray at least one rosary a day, I think, just to keep in touch with heaven. Our son-in-law, he drives for a half an hour to work and back every day, and he's got a family of 7. He doesn't have time when he gets home. They do pray with the family, but the kids go to bed early and everything else when he gets home. So they don't have time to do the 15. So he prays it on the way to work and back again. And they, the kids and our daughter try to fit it in during the day. And anybody that's busy, if you're on a lunch break, you can say half a decade or a decade, and you can add to it as you find the time. And I don't think you necessarily have to be on your knees in a quiet room to do that all the time. You can do it when you can fit it in. And if you can keep thinking of that all day long, you're going to get the 15 done sometime during the day. And if you can't do it, then you've done the best you can.
Right. I guess as long as you put that effort forth and the sacrifice, giving up watching a little bit extra TV, or, I mean, heaven forbid, that you still have a TV.
Yeah.
But just make that extra effort, I guess, just for Our Lady. Back to about Father Gruner. I've heard in his, he had those great talks on YouTube for the Fatima Center, The Questions Answered. I heard him explain how the consecration of Russia isn't a bad thing, but to be consecrated is a good thing. You're being set aside for God and his plan. So I guess what I'm trying to say is all those listening who aren't familiar with the full message of Fatima, it's not a bad thing to be consecrated to Our Lady. It's a great honor for Russia to be part of her plan and God's plan.
It really is. I used to think the other way too, or kind of wonder about it, wondering, you know, that's sort of an insult.
Right.
But then I've come to realize and understand that it's a great blessing because, like you say, they're being chosen from all the countries in the world. Russia is being chosen, but they need the blessing in order to, or the consecration and the blessing in order to start moving forward with it. And, you know, there are signs, like the priests have pointed out with Mr. Putin and how he's, you know, a practicing Orthodox.
Right.
And so you can almost see it developing, you know. So all we need is that consecration and you know, he can be our hero.
the final push, I guess, push him over the edge.
That's right, yeah.
Well, I want to thank you so much, Ron and Vivian, for joining us and taking your time to discuss this most important subject. May Our Lady shower you both with graces for your generosity in spreading your message. God bless you both.
Oh, thank you, Tony. God bless you, too.
Thank you, Tony.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for taking your precious time to join us today. Be sure to visit us at www.ecclesiamilitans.com for our archived radio programs and other information in promotion and defense of the Catholic faith. Until next time, we wish you the best.